Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are learning the Ilui Nishmas and the Zeich Nishmas of Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Vachana Lav HaShalom. Is Neshama Merida continuous Aliyah in the S'chus of the Torah and the Avodah in this Inyan that we share. It is also with, this is permission, continued Z'chus Rafua for Bracha V'Gai, Basracha Gita, Besoch Sh'ar Chavei Yisrael. So let us begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. I mentioned last time that I made the Tefillah Al Hadibur, the picture, I'm looking at it now, on the Shmiras HaLashon Zoom, on the Shmiras HaLashon WhatsApp notification group. So if you're wondering where it is, that's where it is, and you could follow along with me if you would like to say it with me together. Ribono she'olam hi ratzim v'fanecha, rachum v'chanim, shetizekeni ha'im v'chol yam, l'shmer pi u'lishonim milashon haru v'chilis, v'ezarim l'deber, afil al ish yachid, v'kol shekena kaisa, o achilek mehem, v'kol shekena l'israim amidosef shal kosh baruchu, v'ezarim l'deber, divrei sheker, chanufa mechokes, ka'as gai v'onaz tvarim, habanas panim, Leitzanis v'chol dibur asur, v'zakenim shal l'deber, kim dabar hatzarich, v'inani gufi, v'nafshi, v'yu kol ma'asai, v'diburai, l'shem shamayim, amen. It was a hard weekend for Klal Yisrael. I generally never don't really delve into politics. I'm just going to repeat a comment that I made to my family on Motzei Shabbos. If it's not in line with your political hashkafa, that's fine. We don't have to agree. I'm just telling you what I said to my family on Motzei Shabbos. I said yesterday, Arab Shabbos, Rav HaGaon Rav David Feinstein Zatzal was nifter. On Shabbos we found out after Shabbos Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs passed away Zatzal and Biden won the election. I said, could we have more difficult news in one weekend? So the Ribono Shel Olam should really, when we lose our Gedolim especially, they bring tremendous chusim and leadership and the light of Torah to this world. So it's a very difficult time, and Be'azor Hashem we should be zocha to only see Yeshuas and Besuras Tovos. May our leaders lead us to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu in good health. So it's very interesting when I learn, I find all my classes are intermeshed. And the point of Torah is to shape your life, obviously. Men have a mitzvah to learn specifically and to apply. Women do not have a mitzvah to be kovei itim, to learn for the sake of learning, but we do have to learn in order to know what we have to do. So certainly the laws of Shmiras HaLashon apply to us. So if I don't learn, like we say all the time, how can I know what to do? If I don't delve into the halachos, the inyanim, and the musar of this topic, so I might not have a mitzvah to sit down and be kovei itim every other Monday morning at 9:15, but I certainly do have a chiyuv to know what to say and what not to say, because otherwise I'm constantly going to be stumbling over inyan dibur. So it's really, really interesting. When I was learning Parsha with Rashi this past Shabbos, Play Ha'ara occurred to me, that I never occurred to me before, and it's clearly because of this class very, very much. And it's a pasuk with Rashi that I've read many, many times, but I saw it in a different light. I'm going to teach something in regard to Shmiras HaLashon that I never taught before, and quote a Medrash Rabbah that I never even looked up before until I was preparing Davka for this class, first class of the week, Baruch Hashem. So I'm going to begin by quoting in Parshas Vayera, which is last week's Parsha, 2 days ago. Hey, Parak Yud Tes, chapter 19, Pasuk Chof Dalet. Excuse me. So in Parak Yud Ches, the angels come to Abram and Sarah. One comes to heal Abram. One comes to give Sarah a blessing that she will have a child. One comes to destroy Sodom. They leave. Abram davens for the people of Sodom and Amorah to be saved. They arrive by Lot. We have the whole incident where Lot takes them in and the people are trying to bang down the door and the Malachim schlep Lot and is out of the town. His wife turns to salt. He's saved with his daughters. Bekitzar. I'm going to read from Perek Yutas, Pasuk Chof Dala, chapter 19, verse 24. Okay? Bahashem himtir. So I skipped everything. I'm going to the end, to the destruction. Hashem himtir, don't worry, this is very relevant to our class, bear with me. Hashem himtir al Sodom va'al Amora gafris ve'esh. Hashem rained down upon Sodom and Amora sulfur and fire, me'es Hashem, from before Hashem. Interesting that it says Shem Hashem here, the name of Hashem. You would expect it to say me'es Elohim. From Din, it says Me'es Midas HaRachamim. Perhaps you could answer, like Rashi says in Parshas Noach, that the tefillah of the tzaddikim changed Din to Rachamim, but the rishus of the Rishaim changed Rachamim to Din. So we see here that the wickedness of the people in Sodom changed what is normally God's mida of compassion to God's midah of destruction, din, if you will. Okay, so it's raining down sulfur and fire from before God, min hashamayim, from the heavens. Vayaafoch es ha'arim ha'el. God overturned these cities, as kol hakikar, on the entire plain, ve'es kol yoshvei ha'arim, and all the inhabitants of the cities, v'tzemecha adama, and the growth of the field. Vatabeit ishto me'acharav, and his wife looked behind him. Vatihi nitziv melech, his wife peered, or she looked from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Do I hear something interesting on that, which I wasn't planning to say? Yeah? Somebody reached out to me. She actually listens to the Shiur online from Montreal. This is totally not really related, but it's so interesting. She reached out to me from Montreal on Motzi Shabbos with a question about Lot's wife. So I didn't even understand her question. She was trying to ask about comparing Lot's wife to Rachel. They're both buried on the side of the road. So first I said, I don't understand your question. But then I looked up in my son's Pshuto Shel Mikro Chumash, which was sitting right next to me. This is not really related to his class. I didn't prepare, but since I just read that pasuk, I never told this over before because I never saw it before. This is from Pshuto Shel Mikro, which my brother told me about a number of years ago, because I use Arts Kru Chumash with Rashi. Rashi elucidated to learn through the Parsha. My brother told me a few years ago to try Pshuto Shel Mikro. So I don't use it, but my son uses it. My son absolutely loves it. So I looked in it. I was sitting on the counter, and I got this question from Montreal. Vatihi nitziv melech. Ki im ha'esh v'ha'gafris. Why did she turn into salt? So we know the famous Rashi quoting Medrash Rabbah, which I found in Medrash Rabbah when I was preparing for this class, that she went to the neighbors when the angels came to say, lend me salt, but she wanted them to find out that there were guests there. Ki im ha'esh v'ha'gafris hum tarleim gam melech. Along with the fire and the sulfur, God rained down upon them salt. Like the pasuk says in Devarim, Gafris v'melach sreifa kol arza. So sulfur and salt will burn the whole earth. Shahmelach gamhu mashchis es ha'adama, because salt also destroys the earth. Umevato kocha me'asos peri, and it causes the power of the earth to be destroyed from making fruit. Okay? Quoting a pasuk from Tehillim. V'lokta eishas lo b'makas mavezu, and the wife of Lot was struck with this death, me'ein makasam, from the power of this maka. And then, u'bepirkei de Rabbi Eliezer muva. And now the Pshuto Shel Mikro quotes, some of you might use it, or the men in your home might use it, u'bepirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, okay, Torah trivia. Does anybody know Lot's wife's name? I didn't even know she had a name that was brought down to us. Okay, Noach's wife is named Naama. That's brought down in Parashas Bereishis, in the story of Lamech and his wives, and mentions Naama. Why in Perek Dalet? Why does it mention Naama? Rashi says it mentions Naama because she's the wife of Lot. Avram's mother, Avram Avinu's mother, is Amsala Bas Karnivo. That's Lot's wife's name. I never even knew her name was brought down. Ready? Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer Muva, Irit, or Iris, Iris, or Irit, however you pronounce it, Ishto Shalo, with an ayin. Iris with an ayin, or Irit with an ayin, Ishto Shalo, the wife of Lot, Nichmeru, why did she turn around? Why did she turn around? She wasn't such a bad person, according to this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Nichmeru rachameha al binoseha nesuos. Her mercy over her married daughters was aroused. V'hibita la'achareha, and she turned around. Lir'os imhochos acharaha imlo. Her married daughters were in the town, and she had her mercy was aroused over her married daughters. So she turned around to see if they were coming behind her or not. V'rasa acharaha hashchina. V'nasis nitziv melech. Did anyone ever know this before? This is unbelievable. She turned around to see if her married daughters were coming. What she saw was the Shechina, because the Shechina descended kaviyachol to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, ki lo yireni ha'adam v'chai, man cannot see me and live. She, Iris, ayin yud reish, ayin, irit, or iris. By the way, it's interesting that the first two letters spell ir. We're talking about the destruction of a city. She saw this, mamash, I'm quoting, Hibita l'acharei liros imhochos acharei imlo, v'rasa acharei hashchina, v'na'aseis nitziv melech. I know, Alyssa, please forgive me, I know it's not related, but I read the pasuk, and it's my first year of the week. I think it's incredible. I never came across, so thank you to my friend from Montreal, who reached out to me, because I would never have looked this up. Nitziv HaMelech Nishar Kayam Gam L'Doros, and that pillar of salt remained Kayam Gam L'Doros, established, it's there for generations. Kemosha Shaninu, like we learn in the Maseches Brachos, Harore Ishto Shelo, Tzarich Sheyitin Hodav V'Shev V'Chnei Amechem. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Nun Dalet Amar Aleph, one who sees the wife of Lot, Tzarich Sheyitin Hodav V'Shev V'Chnei Amechem, he has to give thanks and praise before God. And Visham Alot Hu Omer and Amad Beis, Brachos Nundal Amad Beis, if he sees Alot, about Lot, he says, Baruch Zocher Satzadikim, this is going to relate to Shir. Blessed is he who remembers the Tzadikim, Vali Ishto, and when you see the pillar of salt, that was Lot, you say, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. But the Rambam does not mention this halacha, because he is certain shekayom einanu yodim es mekoma shalishes lo bedmut netziv melech. The Rambam does not codify this as a halacha, even though it's brought down in the Gemara, because according to the Rambam, he is certain that today we do not know the place of Eishes Lod in the pillar of salt. I thought this was fascinating. I never learned it before, and when I learned something new, I want to share it. This is the first class of the week, so if chatasi, how could I say chatasi about sharing Torah? But it's incredible. So her name was Iris, or Irit, however you want to pronounce it. She turned around to see her daughters. She saw the Shekhinah, and she died. Amazing. Why salt? Because salt was raining down from Shemayim. It was one of these destructive forces. Incredible. So that's on Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chavav. Okay? Vatabeit ishto me'achora vatine tziv melech. Let's go. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayashkim Avram b'boker alamakom asher amacham as p'nei Hashem. Avram woke up early in the morning. The Gemara says in Brachos Chav Vav Amar Beis. Mikan sh'avram tikein tefila shachris. Vayashkim al p'nei Sodom v'amora. Va'al kol Avram gazed over the Sodom and Amora and the whole land of the plain. And he saw that it's smoking like the smoke of a lime pit. Pasuk Chav Tes. This is what struck me over Shabbos and strongly related to this class. Vayihi b'shachris Elokim es arei hakikar, and it was when God destroyed the cities of the plain. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham. Vayizkor Elokim es Avram. Elokim remembered Avram. Vayishalach es Lot mitoch ha'atecha means to say, it sounds that it means like, because he remembered Avram, he sent Lot from the darkness, from the overturning, from the destruction. Bahafoch es ha'arim, when he overturned the cities, are Shayasha ben Lot, where Lot dwelled. And now the story continues, and Lot went from Tzoar, and he dwelt in the mountain with his two daughters. He was afraid to dwell in Tzoar, and he was in a cave, him and his two daughters. And we know the end of Perek Yutes, he has a relation with his daughters. What looks to be very not nice ends up with Moab, ends up with Rus, ends up with David Melch Yisrael. But that's not the topic of today's shir at all. Topic of today's shir is Pasuk Chav Tes. And it was when God destroyed the cities of the plain, and God, Elohim, Midas Hadin, remembered Avraham. I'm in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Tes. And he sent Lot out from the destruction. What did he remember that he sent Lot out from the destruction? Okay, so someone commented, thank you for sharing. It was very interesting. I thought it was fascinating also. Okay, Vayizkor Elokim es Avram. So if anyone remembers Rashi, Mahu Zichira Social Avram Alo. Why does it say he remembered Avram, so he saved Lot? Why doesn't it say he remembered Lot? What does it mean he remembered Avram, so he sent out Lot? What is the remembrance of Avram Alot over Lot? Nizkar, Shahaya Lo Yodea Shasara Ishto Shal Avram. God remembered that Lot knew that Sarah was Avram's wife. At the end of Perek Yud Aleph in Parshas Noach, we learn that Avram married Sarai / Yiska. Lot knew that Avram and Sarai were married. If everyone remembers Parshas Lech Lecha, they come to the land of Canaan. There's a famine in the land, so they descend to the land of Egypt. And Avram says, oh no, ato yadat, hine no yadati, ki isha yifa mar et at. I know you're now a beautiful woman. They will see you and they're going to kill me. So what does he say? Imrina, please say, achosi at. I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact question. They will do good for me because of you. Please say you're my sister. So Lot knew that Sarah was the wife of Avram. Vishama Shamar Avraham b'Mitzrayim al Sarah achosihi. Lot heard in Egypt that Avram said, they come to customs, who are you traveling with? You traveling with any family members? And Avram says, yeah, I'm traveling with my sister. Velo gila hadavar. Lot did not reveal the truth of the matter. And this Rashi struck me for the first time over this past Shabbos. Lo, it was quiet. Lo, it had something to speak up about. Lo, practice Shmir Salashon. And I'm going to quote the Medrash in a moment. Rashi's quoting the Medrash, and we're going to go to the Medrash in a moment. Shahaya chas alav. Lo didn't reveal the matter because chas, he had mercy upon Avram. Mida kenege mida laficha chas akash baruch hu alav. Go look up the Rashi. Yotas chavtas. Therefore, Lo had mercy and kept quiet. And he saved Avram from destruction. Look at the mida kenege mida. Lot thought he was saying Avram's life by keeping quiet. Whose life was he saving by keeping quiet? His own life. And this Rashi never struck me in this fashion before. But I teach Baruch Hashem many diverse topics. And this is the first Monday morning, every other Monday morning. I'm learning Rashi and Shabbos. And I fold, Fatima said, I fold the page. I once asked the Shaila about that, by the way. You're allowed to fold the pages on Shabbos. And David Cohen, Shlita. Lot kept his tongue quiet. He thought he was saving his uncle's life and his sister, by the way, she was his sister. He saved his own life. Look at the power of guarding your tongue. Look at the power of Shmir Salashan. The Lashon of Rashi is Lo gila hadaver shahaya chas alav lafiha chas akolish baruch hu alav. I translated it for you already. So I went to look up the Medrash. Okay? I have my Medrash Bereishis Rabbah right here because Rashi is quoting the Medrash. So I open the Medrash to see what the Medrash has to say. It's Medrash Bereishis Rabbah nun aleph vav. Okay. So the Medrash quotes this pasuk, "Vayihi b'shaches Elokim es arei hakikar," and it was when God destroyed the cities of the plain. "Vayizkar Elokim es Avram," God remembered Avram. "Vayishalach es Lot." By the way, one other way to understand this, what does it mean? God remembered Avram. It means he remembered the tefillos of Avram. Remember, in Perek Yudches, Avram spends all that time davening for the people of Sodom and Amorah. It seems like Avram Avinu's tefillos. This is a different pshat. It seems like Avram Avinu's tefillos are wasted because he wakes up in the morning and the whole plain and the whole land has been utterly destroyed and turned upside down, from people to land to tzemach asada. Everything is utterly destroyed. But we learn from here, Vayizkar Elokim es Avram, Vayishalach es Lot. Don't think a tefillah is ever wasted. This is just chizuk and tefillah, especially we're in difficult times. Don't think a tefillah is ever wasted. Hashem remembered Avram Avinu's tefillos. That's why he saved Lot. Avram Avinu davened that the whole city should be saved in the schus of 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And Hashem did not save them. So Avram could wake up and he say, I'm throwing in the towel. My tefillos weren't accepted. No. Avram's tefillos were accepted because Lot was saved. Because Lot was saved, Melech HaMashiach is going to be born. So it's a chizuk in the Indian of tefillah. If you think your tefillos, you daven for something, you think they're not answered, do not despair. Remember, Vayizkar Elokim es Avram, Vayishalach es Lot. But I want to talk about the nekuda that I am bringing up in today's shiur. I feel like you're giving Lot too much credit. He owed his life to Avram, so this was basically an act of Hakar Satov. So that's not what Chazal say. That's not, go look up the Rashi. If you have a taina, you have to have a taina to Chazal. Let me go through what Chazal say, okay? It's interesting you're saying that, because in preparation for the show, I also looked up the Sifsei Chachamim, who addresses a little bit of what you're saying, but I'm deciding not to quote it, because I want to go to the Medrash. Why does he owe his life to Avram? Why do you say he owed his life to Avram? Because he went with him to the land of Canaan. Lot wasn't 5 years old when Haran died. He was an adult. Avram was 75. Lot wasn't a little boy. I don't think I agree with that. But I'm also going to quote what... Listen, Elu ve'elu. Did any of us ever hear what I just read to you from Pshuto Shel Mikra about Iris? I didn't even know her name was Iris. I always thought she was such a bad lady. I mean, she wasn't such a good woman, okay? And she was stingy with salt, and she wants to out the guests, and she wants everyone to know she's hosting guests. But Lamaisa, she turned around to see her daughters, and she saw the Shechina. So on some level, she had to have some schus. Don't forget, she is the mother of the Benos Lot. So in essence, she has some line in Mashiach. Furthermore, I saw Rav Elimelech Biderman brought down in Parshas Lech Lecha that Haran, who jumped into the Kibshan HaEish, even though he jumped in for ulterior motives, He said, if Avram saved, I'm with him. And if Avram burned up, I'm with Nimrod. Avram was saved, so Haran says, I'm with him. He jumped in and he's burned. So you think Haran's a bad guy, who, by the way, is the father of Lot. Valamiach Biderman said, Haran had Zchusim. He was Mekadei Shem Shemayim by jumping into the fiery furnace. And from him, Mashiach comes. He's Lot's father. Lot sleeps with his daughters, excuse me. And Mashiach is born. So it's not so clear to Pasha right off the biblical personalities and the narratives in Tanakh as being so one-sided. Maybe we always learn something a certain way, so we think we're giving Lot and Iris too much credit, but there's Elu Velu, and that we have to... Paulus Bodak, you're the one who sent me the email about seeing two sides of the matter. Ha! I love you. We learn together in many, many venues, but you sent me that email. You have to see two sides of the matter. So it's not so Pasha. And Iris turned around, and in some way she was ochad to see the Shechina. And we have to understand that Lot did something very good. It's not true that he owed his light to Avram. His father was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Rabbi Biderman says that's why Haran was Zocha to have a chain in Melech HaMashiach. I want to address what the Medrash says. Vayhi b'shachis Elokim es Ari Kikar, vayhi b'shachis es Avram, vayhi b'shach es Lot. The Medrash comments, Ma zechira nizkar lo lalo. What was the zechira? What was remembered for Lot? Footnote says, the phrase God remembered Avraham would normally be, when I say footnote, I mean in the Art School Medrash Rabbah. So it's a Medrash Rabbah with Art School elucidation and commentary. It looks a lot like the Gemara. The phrase God remembered Avraham would normally be construed as meaning that God recalled the merits of Avraham. But that would be incongruous here. Incongruous, am I saying the word right? Yeah, thank you. For why should the merits of Avraham result in God saving Lo? So we gave one pshat, which is the tefillah of Avraham, save Lo. But this is different. Hence, in this context, it must mean God remembered something that concerned Avram that served as a merit for Lot. So the Medrash is explaining, Vayizkor Elokim as Avram, Vayishalach as Lot, it must be Lot did something in the context of Avraham that saved Lot. Okay? I'm skipping. God found a specific merit for Lot that in some manner concerned Avraham. The Medrash says, Beferish, Shetika, or Shesika, Sheshasak la Avraham. Shetika, closed his mouth. He didn't reveal a secret. The silence that he was silent for the sake of Avram, Bishash Amar Avram al Sar Ishto Achosihi. At the time that Avram said about Sar, his wife, she is my sister, Vahaya Yodea, Visho Sake. How could you tell me I'm giving Lot too much credit? And the comment was made to everybody, so I'm not, I'm reading a comment that was posted on the Zoom chat that everybody could see. We prefer public comments to anonymous comments. I wrote a letter to Mishpacha, family first. It was published a few weeks ago, and someone actually commented me. She said, and you signed your name. Yeah, because most people do not want to sign their names. Okay. I wrote another one actually over the weekend. We'll see if it's published. My son says another one. I won't tell you what it's about until we'll see if it comes out. Bishah, and I signed my name. Bishah Shamar Avram Asar Ishto Chosi Vahayodeh Vishosek. That's what the Medrash says. What do you want from me? The time Avram said about his wife, she is my sister, Lot knew and kept silent. It saved his life. I'm giving Lot too much credit. Saved his life. He saved his life. One act, Lot, who chose to live in Sodom, Bereishis 13:13, v'anshei Sodom raim v'chataim la'Hashem ma'od. The people of Sodom were wicked and sinners to Hashem very much. Both Rashi and Unka say wicked and sinners with their bodies and with their money. And Lot chose to go there. And he became the chief court justice, Perikin Tes Pasuk Aleph. And he gives his two virgin daughters. He's schmutz. Schmutz. He closed his mouth and he saved his life. I'm giving Lot credit. Look at the pair of Shmuel Salasha. He closed his mouth and saved his life. Lot. I'm not giving him credit. Chazal teach you the power of closing your mouth. It was true. You know, people say Lashon Hara, it's true. Why can't I say it was true? They're married. Do I have news for you? You know who he's traveling with? He lied on the custom form. Okay, you could say she's his niece. So therefore, like the sister Pasha, they were married and Lo was silent. Footnote. In sparing Avram from death at the hands of the Egyptians, God now spared Lot's life. See insight 8. Okay, so the structure of the Medrash looks like the Gemara over here. Here it has the Medrash with the English elucidated. Here it has footnotes, and very often on the bottom it has insights. It's excellent, beautiful stuff. Baruch Hashem for Torah. So I'm going to read from the insights. Okay, it's very interesting. It's quoting the Michtav Me'eliyahu. I tried to look it up in my Michtav Me'eliyahu when I was preparing Shir. But it doesn't say the publisher. So our Michtav Me'eliyahu must not be this Michtav Me'eliyahu, because it says Michtav Me'eliyahu, volume 1, page 113 through 116. But in ours, it wasn't 113 through 116. I have not yet. Hashem's given me the Arich Siyam Mishami to get there, learn through the Michtav Me'eliyahu, even though I know it should be at the top of what I'm learning through. I'm going to allow this for him simultaneously. But I couldn't find it inside. But I'm quoting from the Art School footnote. Okay? The Medrash tells us Lot was saved from destruction of Sodom because when Avram once told the Egyptian border guards that Sarah was his sister, Lot did not reveal the secret that Avram and Sarah were in fact married. I could stop here. We have a whole Shira, and that's the point. I take it home with you. Close your mouth. You'll save your life. Okay. Lot did not reveal the secret that Avram and Sarah were in fact married. Lot probably could have gained some reward by exposing Avram's ruse. Ruse, trick, secret. R-U-S-E. Ruse or ruse? Ruse. And moreover, he risked being branded as an accessory by remaining silent. Shtika koda. So if they would have found out that they were really married, Lot could have gone in trouble. You're an accomplice to a crime. Not only did you keep silent, but you knew you should have spoken up. You have an obligation to keep the law. You should have spoken up. Yet he made the proper decision and, quote, held his tongue. I'm teaching you brand new information. What I started to share with about Iri seeing the Shekhinah and looking for her daughters, I never saw it before in my life. I didn't know Lot's wife had a name. Thank you to my friend in Montreal. But I'm teaching you now, I never saw this Rashi with this line of Machshava before, and this I never even looked up. This is brand new for me too. He risked being branded as an accessory by remaining silent. He made the proper decision and, quote, held his tongue. The question arises, however, was this such a great act of righteousness and source of merit? Avram was Lot's uncle, brother-in-law, and mentor. He was his uncle through Haran. He was his brother-in-law, because some people don't realize, if you look back at the Yichus story, then the Perigil Aleph, Sarah / Yiska and Lot were brother and sister. They had a close relationship. Maybe he would want to lend support to his sister and brother-in-law. Did he want them to be killed? Another question. If the Medrash is searching for a source of merit for Lot, right? By Yishalach es Lot, Bahafoch es Ha'arim Ha'el, so he had merit. Lot just did an act that was seemingly much more virtuous. He literally risked his life to host the angels in Sodom. When the angels show up in Sodom, the people of the city, they're trying to break down the door. So if you want to tell me Lot has a chus, tell me the chus of Echnas Azarchim. Okay, it was a little corrupt. It's a little bit twisted. First he says, come inside. Then he doesn't, that's right, Paul. That's what the Medrash are saying. Who wouldn't do this for a family member? So we have to get to the answer, okay? Lot just hosted the guest. Not only that, it was a great risk to his own life. Oh, he just came here and now he's trying to judge us, say the people? So why doesn't the Medrash say, and then quoted by Rashi, Vayishalach es Lot, that he did Echnas Azarchem? It's not the merit of Echnas Azarchem that saved him, it's the merit of Shmiras Halashon that saved him. Addressing these questions, Rav Eliyahu Dessler coins a phrase that expresses deep insight into the human psyche. Here we go. Nikudas habechira. Nikudat habechira, or nikudas habechira. Translated as the point of choice. Excuse me. When a person is faced with a moral issue, I must make a difficult choice. He is facing nikudas habechira. So I'll tell you, this class has Baruch Hashem made me highly aware of Koch HaDibur. So just yesterday, one of my family members was telling me that by accident, instead of someone calling on WhatsApp, call one person, they made a group call. This person in my family had shaychus, so they picked up the call because they thought they were going to be on a group call. And they heard the person saying to a different family member something that was clearly not meant to be in a group call. It wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't like I could say it, but I don't want to in case a person hears the Shir 9. It's fine. But it wasn't meant to be a group call. It wasn't like, oh my God, I can never look at that person again. It's so embarrassing. But it was definitely a group call. So my husband started telling the story since I said who it was. So he said, this is what happened. So I said, wait, is this Lashon Hara? Do I not want to hear it? That is Rav Dessler is called the Nekudas HaBechira. It was totally not good. So it wasn't, I don't want to say what the person said on the phone in case they hear, but it was nothing. The point is just how careful you have to be with using technology. Nekudas HaBechira, the point of choice. Wait, do I want to hear this or don't I hear this? Do I want to say she's his sister or not? When a person is faced with a moral issue and must make a difficult choice, and choosing what to say and what not to say is a very difficult choice, he is facing a Nekudas HaBechira. However, the point of choice, the Nekudas HaBechira, Nekudat HaBechira, does not include options that are totally outside a person's normal range of alternatives. So when you have Nekudas HaBechira, I'm going to give you my own example, and then I'm going to read from the footnote, what Rav Dessler explains. I'm going to give you my own example. If you're hungry, and you just had a fleishik meal, not just, okay, you had a fleishik meal, and now it's 9:30, and you want a bedtime snack. You're one of the people who eat after 7 p.m., you don't hold by the don't eat after 7 o'clock, Michal Horowitz does not hold, but personally, whatever you do is fine, it works for your health, good. Or now I want a snack. I had fleishik supper, now it's 9:30, and I just gave 2 shiurim, and now I want something to eat, so I have a choice. I have a nekudas HaBechira. But nekudas HaBechira is only within the realm of whatever is a probable or possible alternative. For example, I could choose to have kompot, I could choose to have cut up fruit, I could choose to have tea, I could choose to have an apple with peanut butter. I am not going to choose to eat dairy ice cream. It's outside of my realm of Nekudas HaBechira. Why? Because for me, it's not a choice. I had fleishik 3 hours ago. So Nekudas HaBechira only is what's within the realm of possible alternatives. For instance, now I'm going back to our scroll footnote. If a person is betrayed by a friend, and I think this example is interesting because we're talking about low, and too often with sins of speech, we end up betraying a friend. If a person is betrayed by a friend, he may choose between scolding him, cursing him, taking legal action, or revenge. Whether those are appropriate in court to the Torah or not, I'm not getting to there. If you're betrayed by a friend, chas v'shalom, you might scold your friend, curse your friend, take legal action, or revenge. Or ignore the slight. But killing your friend is beyond your range of viable choices. For us, Baruch Hashem, killing the person who just betrayed me is not within the Nekudas HaBechira. I'm not going to kill them. I might be very angry. I might be very insulted. I'm not going to kill that person. He does not consider doing so because it's not part of his Nekudas HaBechira. Okay? Spiritual growth comes in small increments. For instance, someone who has never studied Gemara. It's impossible for him to suddenly sit in yeshiva the entire day in front of a Gemara. He never studied Gemara. It's not within his Nekudas HaBechira for self-improvement and avodas Hashem to sit in front of a Gemara all day. That's not within his Nekudas HaBechira. However, he can choose between not learning at all and going to one shir a day. That's a realistic choice. When he's faced with Nekudas HaBechira, in terms of improving in his Avodas Hashem, improving his morality, his spirituality, his Devekus, his Yediyas HaTorah, he can't say, I never learned Gemara, I'm going to sit in front of a Gemara all the whole entire day. He could say, I will attend one shiur a day. That's realistic. That is within the realm of the circle of Nekudas HaBechira. If he makes the virtuous decision and steadfastly maintains a modest learning schedule, his Nekudas HaBechira expands. Now, he can opt to increase his learning incrementally. After 5 years or 2 years, depending on how bright he is, he might be able to sit in yeshiva all day. So your Nekudas HaBechira, with growth in Avodas Hashem, expands positively. Now you have more choices. Rav Dessler goes on to say, it is quite possible that Jews who were raised in strictly observant homes are not often faced with difficult decisions concerning Torah observance. For example, Shabbos. It's not a nisayon for us. It's not within our realm of Nekudas HaBechira if we're going to keep Shabbos or not. Why not? It's not a Bechira. You're all going to keep Shabbos. All the participants on this call are not faced with the choice of Shmir Shabbos. They naturally fulfill the basic mitzvahs. They were trained in mitzvah observance. It is force of habit that is below their Nekudas HaBechira level. Sometimes when such a person faces temptation concerning something outside his conditioning and habit, he may succumb. Lot acted with great compassion towards his guest. Remember, the question of the Midrash footnote, the question of the footnote is, if you want to tell me that Lot had zechusim to be saved, so why not tell me he did achnasas archem? We either Vayomer Adonai alna tavar mi alav decha, so it's quoted in Inklus, it's quoted in Rashi, Gemara says, Masecha Shabbos 127a, I believe, God achnasas archem mi kabalas pnei shchina. Kuf chav zayin alaf. So if you want to tell me the Lord had zchusim, so he was mekabel orchim. So why do you have to go all the way back when they first came to Canaan to tell me that he had zchus? Lord acted with great compassion towards his guests, even to the point of endangering his life. But that wasn't really within his nekudas habechira. Why not? Because he grew up in Avram's household. He was trained in Achnasas Archem. He was emulating what he had always seen. Just like Shabbos isn't an Isayan for me. I don't choose. I mean, I do choose to keep Shabbos. I try and enhance. That's another class that I teach every other week. I try and enhance Shemira Shabbos, Ahava Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos, appreciation for Shabbos. But it's not an Isayan for me if I should be Mechal Shabbos. I ask Shabbos if I have him. I try to the best of my ability. I hope to keep Shabbos. So you can't say that's within your Nukud HaBechira. Use that back to Lot. You can't say it was within his Nekudas HaBechira to welcome guests because he was trained. Avram sees them and he bows down to the ground. He runs to greet them. Lot was trained in Achnasas Orchem. It's not in his Nekudas HaBechira. It's not a choice if he should be Machnis to Orchem or not. Of course he's going to be Machnis to Orchem. That's what he had seen from Avram Avinu. He habitually mimicked the behavior that he was accustomed to seeing. But it was not truly part of him. Like we know. How do we know? Because then he says, don't harm the guests. But what could you have? These two basulos who have never known a man. So clearly it wasn't within his nekudas habechira, and the achnasas archem was done by rote. His true nekudas habechira, this is the article footnote, Medrash Bereishis Rabba, quoting the Michtar Me'ilah, which I did try and look up, but I could not, because I have a different edition. His true nekudas habechira manifested when he was faced with the test of revealing Avram's secret. When he had the desire and perhaps the subjective benefit that would come to him by exposing the truth. Maybe the Egyptians would have rewarded him richly. Maybe they would have elevated his status. Maybe they would have given him many things, protection from the government for telling us the truth. But he chose not to do so. Quote, so I'm sorry, but I'm not giving Lo too much credit. I'm going to quote the last line. It was a genuine expression of his own goodness. And therefore he was saved in that merit. He held his tongue. He chose not to reveal the truth, even though it may abandon him financially, economically, socially, politically. He did not reveal what Avram and Sarai did not want revealed, and he was saved. And I don't think it's true. You could just write it off as being done for a family member, because you could say that if Baruch Hashem you have positive family relations, there are, unfortunately, many family members who do not have positive family relations. And if Lo was corrupt in the sense that he chose to live in Sodom, and he knew they were wicked and sinful with their bodies and money, you can't necessarily say he would do that for family. I don't think you could say that for sure. Not actually also Paul. You know why? Terach threw Avram into the fiery furnace. And Terach had Haran, and Haran had Lot, so it's a little bit in their DNA to rat out family members. So I don't think it's so pasha to just write off and say, who wouldn't do this for a family member? Why? Haran threw him into the Kibbutz Me'ish, and Cain killed Hevel. So, and we're coming up to Parshas Toldos, and Yaakov has thrown away because Esav wants to kill him. So you can't just say, who wouldn't do this for a family member? Guess what? There are many people who would not do this for a family member. So I think we have proven, and it's just in the way we're understanding the sources, that it's not giving Lo too much credit sorry, I just moved the computer accent. That's not giving Lot too much credit, but rather Lot deserves the credit he's given, and there is an extremely strong Musar Haskel to be learned from this. I'm going to end by quoting from the Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim. Okay? The Chofetz Chaim by Rabbi M. Yashar. I'm quoting from page 78 through 79. If you have this version. Rabbi M.M. Yashar Artskwa, the Chavetz Chaim, the life and works of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan of Radin, since we are studying the Sefer of the Chavetz Chaim, Kunchas Chovetz HaShmira. The topic that I'm quoting from, the subheading that I'm quoting from, is called The Art of Silence. Learning how to speak and what to say has always held an important place in the realm of education. However, as the Chavetz Chaim saw it, learning how to speak and what to say requires much greater tact, wisdom, and application to learn when and how to be still. As the Gemara puts it, Maseches Chulin, what is a person's proper craft in this world? The Pasuk says, in Tehillim, Tola Aretz Al Belima, Hashem holds up the world on nothingness. So the Gemara says, what does it mean he holds up the world on nothingness? Al Misha Bolem Piv B'Sha'as Meriva, one who holds his mouth at the time of a quarrel, one who knows how to be bold and peeve, close his mouth. A person must make himself like a mute in this world. The fact is that to be an ordinary laborer, the Chavetz Chaim taught, cutting stones, digging earth, carrying bricks, a person does not need training or expertise, said the Chavetz Chaim. You don't have to be a craftsman to know how to carry bricks, how to dig the earth, how to cut stones. Therefore, when the sages say a person has to be a craftsman to be a mute, trained in a skill, in order to now maintain silence, we should understand how great an art silence is. This is a quote from Sefer Shmir Salashon Shar HaTavuna. To fulfill his envisioned purpose, the Chavetz Chaim did not rely on his published work alone. At every opportunity, he would address the public, teaching the art of remaining quiet when necessary. Lo teaches us. He also gave his daughters. That's exactly right. Millie Fried, you're exactly right. He also gave his daughters. So you can't say Lo would do this for a family member. His grandfather gave up his uncle. He himself gave up his daughters. Oh, very good point, Millie. You're right. He was willing to give up his daughters. So why would I think that he would want to save his uncle Avram if he could get rich from it? At every opportunity, he would address the public, teaching the art of remaining quiet when necessary. In addition, he would encourage his students to learn how to give sermons and lectures. And he would say, to speak to the people is a religious duty. To talk about the people, heaven forbid. To speak to the people is a religious duty. To talk about the people, heaven forbid. Once a student came to him and complained, Rebbe, you always stress we should give sermons and lectures to the people. Well, I held forth for 2 hours at a stretch before a congregation of listeners that filled the synagogue from wall to wall. I don't see my words have had particular influence that caused them to improve. What is the use? The Chavetz Chaim replied to his student, I am surprised at you for saying this. We know the rule, the Vilna Gaon cites in the name of the Medrash. For every moment a man controls himself and keeps his mouth silent, he will be privileged to bask in the great concealed light which no angel or earthly being can ever conceive. That's so interesting. I just realized something. The Vilna Gaon cites a teaching in the name of the Medrash that for every moment a man controls himself and keeps his mouth silent, he will be privileged to bask in the great concealed light, meaning of the Shekhinah. It's very interesting because Lot's wife, Iris, or Irit, turned around to see if her daughters are coming. Actually, she saw the Shekhinah, and she turned into salt. I don't know if she was married. We don't know when they got married. If he just married her, she was from Stone. Maybe it's brought down in the Medrash, or Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, or Michal Haaretz has no idea. It's interesting that he held his tongue, and she saw the Shekhinah. The Chavetz Chaim concluded, quote, remember, he's talking to the Talmud who says, I speak, and I don't see that my words are making any effect. So the Chavetz Chaim said to his Talmud, for 1 minute of silence, a person will be privileged to bask in the great concealed light. Imagine then what will be the reward for preventing an entire large congregation for 2 whole hours from saying nothing. The value of this mitzvah cannot be measured. What more do you want? So you're saying to the Talmud, don't worry. If they're still speaking Lashon Hara when they leave Shul for 2 hours that you gave a sermon, they were quiet. You cannot imagine the reward, said the Chofetz Chaim, of those 2 hours of silence for 1 minute the Vilna Gaon teaches in the name of the Medrash. That a person holds his tongue, he will merit to bask in the glory of the divine presence. Lo thought he was saving Avram and Sarai. Lo was saving himself. And from, oh my gosh. From that act of science, Mashiach was born. And another way to put nekudos on the word Mashiach, Mem Shin Yod Ches, is Mesiach. Siach is speech, and Siach is also prayer. Mesiach, God remembered the prayers of Avram and saved Lot. Mesiach, God remembered the conversation or the absence of conversation of Lot. And he merited that from that Mashiach was born. Nothing I've said today is an exaggeration. Nothing I've said today gives anyone too much credit. Everything was based on the sources. That's a tremendous Musar Haskel. Next time we hold our mouths back, you might just bring Mashiach, save yourself, and the whole world. So we should merit the Siyata Deshmaya, to be so wise as to learn the lessons that the Heilige Torah, Ki Hei Michayinu V'Arach Aminu V'Am Negam Yoma V'Layla, is teaching us as we apply these lessons in our lives and in our days. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you to the wonderful Axrod family for ensuring that the Shir continues. Thank you to the Bona Shalom for Torah. Thank you for everyone who took the time. I wish you a week of Besuros Tovos. Kol Tov, everyone. Thank you.